Today on Vox Talks, the damage that populism has done in Latin America. Welcome to Vox Talks from the Center for Economic Policy Research. My name is Tim Phillips. Well, Latin America has a long history of populist governments, and a new discussion paper from the CEPR examines the consequences of populism in the region over the last half century for both its institutions and its economies. Antonio Spilimbergo of the IMF and the CEPR is one of the authors, and he joins me today. Antonio, welcome to Vox Talks.
It is very nice to be here.
Now, Antonio, we often define populism by the policies that populist governments enact after they get into power, but you're trying to examine the economic consequences of populism here. So that's kind of a circular argument, isn't it? So does your paper have a different way to define populism?
Tim, thank you for this question. This points out to a big problem that early papers on populism had. There is a long history of populism, and people didn't know how to define properly, especially economists, and often resort to define it by the consequences of populism. This created a problem, because if you want to study the consequence of something, you cannot define it by the consequence. And this was a little bit of the problem that early studies on the economics of populism had. And this was in particular a series of studies done by Sebastian Edwards and Rudiger Dornbusch in the early 90s. So when we started to study populism this time, we went back to the literature on populism in political economy, in political science mostly. And the common definition now is based on a narrative approach. They typically define a populist leader a leader who claims to represent and defend the people against the corrupt elites in power. And these elites in power are depicted as stealing from the oppressed, underrepresented locals. This definition has been used quite a bit, and we use it to define the populist regimes.
So by that definition, how common has populist government been in Latin America?
This definition is sufficiently flexible to encompass different kinds of populism. You have a left-wing populist, you have a right-wing populist. A crucial characteristic of this definition that is a thin ideology. It's not something like Marxism, socialism, or capitalism, where you cannot be a market Marxist. This definition of populist allows to include regimes which can implement conservative or not conservative policies. For instance, a famous case of populist is Perón in Argentina, but you have a more recent example like Collor in Brazil, or Menem in Argentina, or Fujimori. And they did implement very different policies, but still they are populist because they use the same narrative.
What conditions typically bring those populists to power?
Well, I think there are two key conditions. First, you have to have a democracy. You cannot have populism in a regime which is not democratic. Populists go to government by elections, in a democratic election in general. Afterwards, they can evolve in a non-democratic way, but a democracy is a fundamental ingredient of populism. Second, you need a segment of the population who doesn't feel represented by the parties in power. And so they start to vote for parties which give voice to the people. And coming back to the definition, they feel that the oppressed elite didn't create the space to express opposition. So I would say there are two conditions. One, democracy. The second, a sentiment of being left out, not being represented.
If populism isn't particularly right or left-wing, and it's a very thin ideology, does that mean that you can get enough data in this period, in this region, to then infer that populism causes certain economic or social effects?
That is a very important question. Yes, indeed. Unfortunately, or fortunately for us, over the history of Latin America in the last 50 years, we did identify about 20 episodes of populism. In our study, we had an eclectic approach. We took all studies by Dorbush and Edwards, and we used new approaches, new technique used by Team Populism, an association of political scientists. The challenge we have, though, is that up to, I would say, two decades ago, economists didn't look at populism carefully, and the political scientists didn't look at economics. So, for instance, the Oxford Handbook of Populism, which was issued in 2017, and is a manual of all populism, has 34 chapters on everything about populism, but no economic of populism. So our challenge was really to think back, what are the economic implications of populism?
Now, you say that populists come to power, that one of the things that they promise is greater rights for the citizens. And in Latin America, that's often about expanding their property rights. And it's certainly giving them a bigger voice in how their countries run. So, from your data, is that what happens?
Yes, this is a very important question. And populists indeed have given voice to a lot of underrepresented minorities in Latin America. And for instance, the Peronist movement has campaigned for the role of women and the vote for women, which was quite advanced at the time for Latin America. Mm. At the same time, the main concern of populists in Latin America has been income distribution. And what is interesting is that despite the fact that their policies are aimed to improve income distribution, at the end of the day, they were not so successful. And the reason why they were not so successful is that they didn't take into account the budget constraint. So they implemented policies which were not macroeconomically consistent and ended up in macroeconomic disasters that at the end of the day damaged everybody, and in particular the constituencies that they were trying to help. So one issue that we look in our paper carefully is the Gini coefficient, an index of income distribution, before and after populists in power. And we noticed that actually it worsened after the populist spell. And it worsened exactly for this reason, that populist regime in many cases ended up in macroeconomic crisis.
When they end up in these macroeconomic crises because the policies are not sustainable, are there bad consequences that follow afterwards?
Yes, there are social, economic, and political consequences. The social consequences are there. As I said, the income distribution is worse off than before that. Economic consequences that income per capita sometimes is worse off than they begin. But more worrisome are the institutional or political consequences. Because one key feature of populism, both left-wing and right-wing, is to deteriorate the independence of institutions. By conceiving a society which is really the people against the elite, they deny the internal dynamics which are key to a liberal democracy. By denying this and breaking these intermediate institutions, they have a legacy where social society, which is fundamental for development, is weakened permanently.
In the short run, though, Antonio, then populists tend to expand the size of the state. They produce more public spending. What sort of things are they spending it on? And does that increase growth in the short run?
Yes, they do, absolutely, especially left-wing populism, increase the size of the government. They increase the public sector. They employ much more public servants. The problem is that this is not sustainable in the long term. Curiously, when populists go to power during a positive cycle of natural resources, the so-called commodity supercycle in the early 2000s, they had more resources to expand even more the government. The problem is that in the longer term, when the price of natural resources go down and they have less resources, they are less able to maintain this level of public employment.
Populism isn't just a Latin American phenomenon. Increasingly, it's not just a Latin American phenomenon. They're very active populist movements in many countries around the world. What can other countries learn from the Latin American experience of populism?
This is a very good question. I think that the main lesson is the necessity to articulate the voice of the people no matter what, no matter in a democratic context. It's very wrong to ignore what a minority or even an increasing minority, even a majority of the people think. It's important to articulate that it comes into the political discourse. It's very wrong to take extremist position, say, well, we don't want to talk with these people. And this is the main mistake that has been done in the last decades.
Well, Antonio, it's very interesting to see populism treated in such a rigorous way and leading to such definite conclusions. So thank you very much.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Now, for all of you who want to read this discussion paper, the number is DP15824 at the CEPR. It's called Economic and Institutional Consequences of Populism. And the authors are Nicola Magud and Antonio Spilimbergo. This has been a Vox Talk from the Centre for Economic Policy Research. We bring you the most innovative economic research every week, so subscribe to Vox Talks. You'll never miss an episode when you do. And remember, 12 years of Vox Talks at voxeu.org/vox-talks.